لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
لبيك اللهم لبيك،
لبيك
لا شريك لك لبيك،
لبيك
والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
لبيك اللهم لبيك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our listeners at home, I am Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. I'm sure when you heard those voice, that voice, لبيك اللهم لبيك, you're like, wow, what's going on? Are we on Hajj? Yeah. The truth is, we are entering into the Hajj week and we have many of the pilgrims already out there in Mecca, performing different rites of Hajj. A lot of them would have performed their Umrah and waiting for the commencement of the Hajj. We are entering into the Hajj week. Today is the 8th of June 2024 and that coincides with the 2nd of Dhul Hijjah, 1445 AH. The moon was sighted on Thursday evening and Dhul Hijjah, the month of Hajj, actually commenced yesterday, Jummah. So today is the second day of Dhul Hijjah. So we're wishing the Hujjah, the pilgrims, a successful journey. That's Mecca. Some have already, arrived. Some will still be leaving, especially those on, the international, delegation will be leaving this week, and the Hajj rite itself will commence proper the approaching week. So we wish them a successful Hajj rite, and we wish everyone happy Eid al-Adha in advance. It's 8 days to Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives till then and beyond. The Eid itself is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, and that would hold next week Sunday. So next week Saturday will be Yawm al-Arafah, the day when the pilgrims would assemble at Mount Arafah, and that's the greatest rite of Hajj. Just like first of Allah, let me just understand that Al-Hajj Arafah, Hajj itself is Arafah. So anyone that misses Arafah has actually missed the Hajj. So in that regard, for those of us that would not be participating in the Hajj and are believers, we are expected to fast on the 9th day of Dhul Hijjah, which is next week Saturday. So if you have not started fasting in this month of Dhul Hijjah, know quite well that at least if you are very lazy with fasting, especially this voluntary fast, ensure that next week Saturday you abstain from eating and drinking, fasting the day of Arafat. First of Allah alayhi wasalam, made us understand that the fast of Hajj expiates the sins of 2 years, the year that you have spent and the year that is to come. So 2 years of sins already wiped off for you by virtue of the fast of Arafah. So you cannot afford to miss the fast on this particular day. So it's next week Saturday that's Yawm al-Arafah, and on Sunday is the Eid proper. I'm sure a lot of us is thinking, wow, my salah meet is already on the way. Well, we'll be waiting for your salah meet. Don't worry, we'll be expecting you to send it across to us here on WFM 91.7. Today, inshallah, For those who probably are joining us for the first time, you are listening to Everyday Muslim Show on WFM 91.7. And on this show, we try to address issues concerning Islam. On Everyday Muslim Show, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Today, inshallah, we'll be considering an important topic, the household, and we'll be looking at plans and budgets. The household, plans, and budget. We know quite well that this time, a lot of people are going through a turbulent moment, especially economically, and that has affected the purchasing power of many families. A lot of people really don't have anything, but you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who actually created us, has provided everything for our sustenance on the surface of the earth, even before we got here. So we didn't get here before we start thinking, oh, probably we'll need water to survive, or probably we'll need oxygen to survive. Allah already created that for us. So in terms of our livelihood, Allah has already concluded that, but it's just for us to actually find that and work hard to be able to get it. So we'll be looking at how well to manage household finances and what provision has Islam made for us. We'll be joined by Imam Ridwan Janin later on the show. But before then, we'll go on a short break. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك
لبيك اللهم لبيك
لبيك,
لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك
لبيك
إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك
لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك
All right, you're welcome back. You're still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. And like I said earlier, today we'll be looking at the household plans and budget. The household plans and budget. And to take us through is, like I said, I mentioned earlier, Imam Ridwan Janin. And for those of us who actually don't know him, a lot of people actually know him as Imam, you know, Ridwan Allah Janin, you know, Lekki Muslim Ummah. But then, for those of us probably would be listening or would hear the name for the first time, Imam Ridwan Allah Kayode Jamia is an Islamic scholar. He attended Muhyiddin College of Arabic and Islamic Studies, Kulende, Ilorin for his Thanawiyah and Diploma in Arabic and Islamic Education. He backed his LLB in Common and Islamic Law from the University of Ilorin. He attended the Nigerian Law School, Lagos State Campus, for his Barrister at Law certificate. He obtained his Master's in Law degree, that's LLM, from Bayero University, Kano, in 2015. He also obtained his PhD in Law, LLD, at the Lagos State University in 2023. So when you see Imam Ridwan Jami, know that you are actually using the Imam to cover, you know, Dr. Ridwan Allah Jami. So he is a marriage counselor. He consults on Islamic social finance and estate planning. He's a member of the Nigerian Institute of Chartered Arbitrators. He was a presenter at the International Conference on Islamic Finance organized by the International Institute of Islamic Banking and Finance, IIIBF Bayero University, Kano, in 2019. He was a resource person at the workshop organized by the Institute of Islamic Finance Professionals, IIFP, Lagos State Chapter, in 2017. He has more than 15 published books to his credit. On Islamic Finance, he wrote Wealth Creation and Circulation and Islamic Perspective in Arabic Language. He published a textbook, Teach Yourself Arabic Within a Short Time, with forward by professors of Arabic, Professors Hosseini of University of Ilorin and Professor A.A. Agbari Gidoma of Al-Hikmah University, Lauren. In Islamic Studies and Jurisprudence, he has published several works for both adults and the youth in English and Arabic. Some are adopted as textbooks in some schools. Likewise, in Comparative Religious Studies, he has published several works, among which is O God, Which Is Your Religion, with a foreword by Professor Olatunji of University of Ilorin Teaching Hospital. He is a Hafiz. When you say someone, you say Hafiz, someone who has successfully memorized the whole of the Holy Quran. And currently, he is the chief imam of Lekki Central Mosque, Lekki Phase 1, Lagos. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, our guest for today, although he is not here physically in the studio, he will join us virtually, is Dr. Ridwan Allah Kayode Jami, the imam of Lekki Central Mosque. Imam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, we'll go on a quick break and we'll return. Inshallah, we'll continue with the program. But just please stay with us.
بكتابك حين ترى الله ما أحراك بهذا أن يكبر قدرك عند الله قصص لا تكشف إلا بكتابك حين ترى الله ما أحراك بهذا أن يكبر قدرك عند الله
You're welcome back. You're still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. And like I said, we are discussing the household plans and budget. All right. So while we await Imam Ridwan Allah Jami to join us, let's just consider the fact that in talking about managing household finances in Islam, it is essential that we take note of it, because in Islam, it is essential for achieving financial stability and living a life aligned with religious values. Many of us face challenges in money management, which can become complex when trying to integrate Islamic teachings with daily financial practices. However, with the right guidelines and approaches, you can overcome these challenges and find a balance in managing household finances. To do this, first you need to understand that you need to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and engage in proper planning. Tawakkul which is, absolute reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a fundamental principle in Islam. This does not mean that we should not plan our finances. Rather, it teaches us that while trusting in Allah, we also need to make wise efforts and plans. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, trust in Allah, but tie your camel. I remember the hadith very well. It said, tie your camel. A companion came in and asked him, what is your, ride? He said, it's there outside. Said, did you tie? He said, no, I know, I have trust in Allah. I said, go back, tie that camel and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this means that we should rely on Allah, but also make good plans for our family's finances. So in doing this, firstly, you need to create a budget that includes all income and expenses. Don't forget to include an emergency fund for unforeseen circumstances. A budget is a guide to a more organized and directed life. So that's something that is quite insightful, because a lot of us, we just spend as we get money, and that's not good enough. Whenever we actually have, let's say for example, especially for those who are income earners, you are salary earners and you are paid on a monthly basis, before you actually collect that salary, you know how much you're expecting, and you have an idea of what some of those items that usually spend money on. So how often do we have a budget for the month that, okay, I'm expecting this amount of money? Now, the labor unions are actually advocating nothing less than 100,000 as minimum wage, and government is insisting we cannot pay more than 60,000, although we find that ridiculous. But then, let's even imagine that for you as a salary earner, because you are not probably on the lowest level, you're earning 100,000. Mind you, just have it. Okay, what exactly am I going to do with 100,000? How do I manage this and still feed my family? So you need to have your budget. So how much am I expecting, and what am I to expend this money on? Even if all that, looks attractive for you to get, you are more than 100,000. You need to look at that 100,000. What are the essentials? What are the fundamentals that I cannot do without? So you need to have this budget. So it assists you to really plan your spending, so you don't just spend anyhow thinking, oh, money will still come. So minus that, so apart from having a budget, you also need to set your financial goals, whether it's saving for your children's education, buying a house, or planning a pilgrimage to Mecca. Clear financial goals provide motivation for disciplined financial management. So when you have an idea of what exactly you want to achieve, something substantial, something remarkable, something meaningful, that you also will have that sense of achievement that I am able to do this. So if you have such a fulfillment that you're able to do that, for instance, you're probably able to build a house, or probably able to send pay your children's school fees for the year, you're able to probably acquire an asset because it will bring in something for you, not because it actually take money out of your pocket. So anything that takes money out of your pocket is not an asset, it's actually a liability. So a car can be an asset, can be a liability, becomes an asset if that car is able to facilitate all those streams of income for you, then it's an asset. But if it's all it does is to probably take money out of your pocket, that it's not an asset like that. That actually is a liability. So if you're trying to please others, and at the end of the day, you hurt yourself by actually distorting your financial plans, then you know quite well that you would get your fingers burnt. So have a financial goal. And setting a financial goal involves several steps. One, identify your goal. Clearly define what you want to achieve, such as saving for a specific purpose, paying off debt, or building an emergency fund. Secondly, you need to assess your current situation, understand your income, your expenses, your assets and liabilities to determine where you stand financially. So you are being realistic with yourself by the time you do an objective assessment of your current situation. So after you've done that, then set a specific target, quantify your goal. For instance, you want to say that I want to save the sum of, let's say, 2 million naira at the end of this 2024. I want to have that as a target saving. So that you have that specific amount in mind. So that's a specific target. Or paying off a debt that you have incurred, or 5 million naira, for instance. That's a specific time, target. or if you say 2 million naira is too small for me, what would I be able to achieve by the end of the year with 2 million naira? I say, okay, fine. I set a target of 10 million naira. That's a target for yourself. I will probably say, okay, at the end of this year, I want to actually pay off the debt of 5 million naira. That's a specific target. By the time you now set the specific target, then have established a timeline. When we say a specific timeline, what we are saying is you must set a realistic time frame to achieve your goal, like 6 months, 1 year. So you don't build castles in air. Don't say, for instance, that I actually want to save 1 million naira by the end of the month of June. And ordinarily, even your salary or any amount of money you're working towards ordinarily is not up to 2 million naira. You know, you're just deceiving yourself. So you need to be realistic with yourself. So establish a specific timeline to achieve your goal. Then create a plan. When we say create a plan, you need to break down your goal into smaller, manageable steps like monthly savings or debt payment. So if your target is 10 million naira, for instance, at the end of this year, you know quite well that you have just about 6 months before the end of this year. So it's for you to like, okay, so if I want to save 10 million at the end of the year, how much do I need to save at the end of each month? So how much would I be able to save at the end of each month? So you need to probably break that 10 million naira target into months, so that at the end of the day, you know how much you're looking out for at the end of each month. Or if it's a debt you want to pay off at the end of the year, you're paying off a debt of 5 million naira. So you might determine that I might not be able to pay 5 million naira at a go, with a lump sum. But let me just probably break it down. Okay, on a monthly basis, probably I'll do the sum of 1 million naira. That's realistic. If you have 6 months and you are setting a target of 1 million naira at the end of each month to pay off as your debt. So that's being realistic with yourself. So break it down, like we said, create a plan to achieve your goal. Then monitor your progress. So regularly track your progress, adjust your plan if needed, and stay motivated. If you set a target of 1 million naira at the end of each month, for instance, to pay off a debt, so then you will know quite well if at the end of the month of June or at the end of the month of July, if it will still be realistic. So there might be a need for you to tweak your plans to be able to achieve that. All right, so yes, I can see that Imam Ridwan Jam has actually joined us. He is with us now. So, and like I said, Imam Ridwan Jam, for those of us that actually don't know him, he is the Imam of Lekki Central Mosque, Lekki Phase 1. He is, a lawyer. He has his first, second, and third degree in law. And he is an Islamic scholar. He is an arbitrator. He is an Islamic finance professional. So, everyone, welcome, Sheikh Imam Ridwanullah Kayode Jamil, to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Imam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Now, alhamdulillah, Bilalim, jazakumullah khairan for being a part of this program. We are looking at households, the plans and budget, looking at how people can actually manage, their finances as a household. So that's what we are looking at today, and inshallah, want you to actually take us through this. I will be asking series of questions for us to be able to at least to begin with. Can you please probably give our audience an overview of household planning and budgeting in Islam?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask him to continue to bless the leader of mankind, Prophet Muhammad
sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
and his members of his family and his companions. May Allah bless us all.
Ameen.
Thank you for organizing this program. May Allah reward you all. May Allah make it beneficial to me and to you and to all our listeners.
Allahumma ameen.
We know that the issue of finance is a very important aspect of our life. This is why, even if you look at the glorious Quran, you can see that the longest verse in the Quran, which is in the longest chapter of the Quran,
absolutely,
is talking about transactions that have to do with money, especially lending, and if you are transacting and Forbes loan. But mainly it has to do with the issue of money, how to manage your wealth, how to manage your resources. That's the longest verse in the Quran. And among the shortest chapters we recite in the Quran, there is Surah Al-Adiyat, where Allah says, "Wa innahu lihubbi al-khayri
lashadid."
Man is very lashadid. He is very intense in his love for wealth. Khair, the scholar said, al-mal. Wa innahu lihubbil khair, ay wa innahu lihubbil mal lashadid.
Allah Akbar.
So he has serious love for money, intense love for money. So, and elsewhere in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah says, wa tuhibbun. But you hibun al mala hubban jamma, you love money, you love wealth exceedingly. So it's part of our nature. That's what Allah created us, also said about us. So but as Muslims, we need this money, and we need to plan how to make money, how to use the money when we have made it, and how to even secure this money for future use whenever we have made it. If you look at the Quran, in Surah Yusuf, once Surah Yusuf, the king had, saw a dream about what, he didn't understand what the dream was all about seven lean cows, devouring seven huge and, big ones, fat ones. So when Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was, interpreting the dream, one of the things he said is, that means you are going to sow, you are going to plant for seven consecutive years. But whatever you affairs, فَذَرُوهُ فِي سُنْبُلِهِ, you have to preserve it, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ, except for a little you are going to eat. Because another 7 years are coming. When those years come, they are going to be very difficult. If you don't have much savings now, you are going to have problem when 7 years of drought. When you are not going to experience rain when they come, when those years come, you are going to face economic hardship. So in order to forestall all this and cushion ourselves when those economic times come, then we need to save. He was telling them indirectly that we need to have proper planning and budgeting so that we'll be able to effectively use these resources, and resources can be to our benefit now and later. So that's to say, inch from the Quran, that as individuals, we have to work. Work when you work. You need to be saving. You need to now plan how to use your income when it comes. Circumstances determine how your plan is going to be.
All right.
During the time of Prophet Yusuf this time, the circumstance, dictated that, if you want to be practical and prudent, you have to do what? You have to eat a little from what we are first, that is the income, and we save more than we use. So your circumstance also will determine how you are going to do with your income. That's just by way of introduction.
Allahumma amin, jazakumullah khairan. To all our listeners, you can be part of this discuss. The number to call in is 07000-917-917. I'll take that again, 07000-917-917. You can also send a message to us via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 0703-175-6537. I'll take that again, 0703-175-6537. We'll be expecting your calls or your messages. So, now, Imam, looking at the unique situation of Nigeria, all right, currently Nigerians are battling with inflation, you know, there's hiking commodity prices, and the purchasing power of the naira has actually, been cut low very much. So how has this situation affected the average Nigerian household?
One of those things needs to be an economic. Analyst before one realizes the hardship that came through, especially given the people like us, given our position as leaders in our communities, in our masajid. So we do have so many people coming around, you know, trying to solicit for assistance. Only Allah knows how many text messages we receive every day. So, Imam, please, I'm hungry. Imam, please, anything. It was only 2,000 naira. Imam, these a lot of people.
Allah.
And many people, their sources of income too have been affected because of the economic instability. So many people have lost their jobs. Many people, even their earnings, their businesses, their small scale businesses they are doing, they have eventually spent the money they use for this business on food. So they have spent much of these funds on food. So it's a reality in our country that many people are passing through a very serious time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually told us that we should always brace up for every time and the eventualities, you know, of life. Allah says, we shall certainly test you. The Shayhim will hold with fear. While you, we will test you with hunger. We test you with loss of wealth or decrease in your income. While anfus, loss of life. While thamarat, loss of fruits. Loss of the fruits of your labor. Loss of your investment. Allah says, we shall test you with that. Wabashir sabirin, but those who are patient, give them glad tidings. Those who say, when they are so afflicted, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. Anyone who has been affected by this economic situation of this country, we should always remember to say, each time you remember your plight, say, inna lillahi wa inna
ilayhi raji'un.
It's not only when a person is deceased, when we say this word, whenever we experience any among the losses and adversities that Allah mentions in the verse before, which is Quran chapter 2, verse 154, whenever you are faced with any of the afflictions mentioned there, so you can say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi
raji'un.
If you can say further by adding, Allahumma ajirni bi musibati wa aqlif li khayra. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa aqlif li khayra. That is, oh Allah, reward me through. Inna lillahi means we belong to Allah, and to him we shall definitely return. Oh Allah, reward me through my patience in what has happened to me, this hardship I'm facing. Wa aqlif li khayra minha. Please grant me something better than whatever I might have lost. Grant me better. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah definitely is going to reward his patience, and Allah is going to grant him something better. So let us have hope in the word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we are going to be rewarded for our patience. So why this is important is many of us are complaining. Please, complaints doesn't solve any problem. We need to be practical and see what we can do in order to salvage this situation and see that the condition improves. That's what we should do. And some people, they have taken to cursing their leaders because of the economic reality of the country. When you curse your leader, you are, multiplying your problem. So because when they get it wrong, it's going to to bear the brunt. So we should rather pray for them and be patient with them, and don't be complaining. Try to see how you can make something happen. Don't wait for things to happen. Make things happen. So this is very important in the kind of situation we have found ourselves. And also, we need to be very, think right. We have to be thoughtful. We need to think very well. So as some people will say, think within the box. Even if you have to, this time we need to think outside the box.
We should not even see a box. Why should we even see a box?
even without a box, what is important, just think in such a way that that thinking will bring you something, you know, substantial that will improve your economic life. So that's very important without going into haram. So please, so inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, allahumma ajini fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. We should be saying that, and we should know that we have been tested by Allah, even though test could be purely from Allah to test our iman, and test could be from what we have used our hands to cause. So because most of the problems we are going through in this country, they are actually artificial. So we cause them. So we are our problems, and we are also the solutions to our problems. So that is why we need to still be patient and accept this as a test. But as Muslims, we don't have to act in a fatalistic way. Fatalism, no. Don't just accept our condition and live like that. No, you have to do something to make sure that you change your condition and you become better in life. May Allah guide us right.
Allahumma amin. All right. Thank you very much, sir, for that. Now, looking at the situation of people now, their income has fallen, their purchasing power has fallen. So how can families increase their income? Are there things probably they can do that are also legal, that are ethical, that they can do to increase their income? And how can they cut on their costs so that at least they can actually break even?
May Allah guide us right. Guidance is something that is very, very important. In the Quran, whenever we pray, we must recite Surah Al-Fatiha. One of the most powerful prayers there is Ihdina Surah Al-Mustaqim. In fact, that's the first prayer in the entire Quran. Ihdina Surah Al-Mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path, or guide us on the straight path, or in the straight path, as you may want to interpret it. So guidance here is not only guidance on the religious matters, even though that's the major and the most important thing. Guidance too in our worldly affairs, we need it. So we need to be guided, because sometimes what you are looking for, and you have to travel all the way to Sokoto, and what you traveled for is right next to you where you are. If you are not guided, you won't find it, and you will strain. You will stress yourself, you will feel so much hardship, and what you are looking for is just right next to you. But when you are guided, that is when you'll be able to discover it. So you'll be able to discover it. That's why we need to ask Allah to always guide us right. Through guidance, we can do so many things in our life. How to handle our finances, how to handle our resources, how to make things better for us. Through guidance, we'll be able to achieve this. So that's why in the Surah Al-Kahf, most of us read on the Fridays, the verse 10 there, the dua is Rabbana hatina min ladunka rahma
wa hayyilana min amrina
rashada. That dua is very, very important at this moment. We need to be guided by Allah. That is one. Another thing is we need to differentiate between our needs and our wants. You know, there are many things we want, but we don't need them. You enter some people's house, you see things they have decorated their houses with, you see things they have got, things they don't actually need, but they just want it. They just want it. They want it because they want to satisfy their quest for it. They want to satisfy the children, just would make them happy, even though that thing is not important. Or they want to feel among. Yeah, let me show them too that I can also use this kind of phone. Buying a phone of 1 million naira, buying a phone of 2 million naira, you know, that you may not actually need. Buying a wristwatch of 500,000 naira, and the only thing the watch does is to show you the time. And it cannot even show you your future. Just to show you the present time. You are spending 500,000 naira on buying it. So, you know, a lot of things some people are doing. So we should be able to differentiate between our needs and our wants. Between necessities and luxuries. So with that, we'll be able to know where to actually spend our money. So when we limit ourselves to our necessities, the basic needs and our needs,
to definitely we'll be able to help ourselves in this economic situation. And there are certain things we have been spending money on. If you cut our expenses on those things, is it going to affect us in any way? There are many things, if you cut spending on those things, they will not actually affect you. So sit down and look inwards so that you know what is really taking away your money and what you need to really jettison, you know, since you don't actually need it, so that you'll be able to manage whatever you have with you and be able to spend it prudently. Another thing that comes under that is we need to be careful. We should not be extravagant, because extravagance is the problems of some people. They don't really know how to spend money. And this is one of the things the Quran has really talked about seriously. You should know how to spend this money, because according to the hadith, on the day of the resurrection, no one is going to leave the spot of accountability, the court of Allah, answering questions until you are able to satisfactorily answer four questions. That is when you will leave. So the last one the Prophet mentioned is Allah is going to ask you about your wealth. Then three questions will now come about wealth. Two questions will come about wealth. How did you make your wealth? Then when you made it, how did you spend it? So these two questions are going to be asked about wealth. How did you make it? What was the source? So is this halal? Is this haram? You are going to be questioned about this. Then when you have made the money, how did you spend it? On what did you spend it? So we need to be conscious of these, that what we have, we don't actually own it. We possess it. Everything we have it in possession. We are not the owner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really the owner. That's why we say, وَأَنْفِكُمْ مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. Spend from what Allah has made you to succeed in having. You are succeeding some people in having it. Other people also have those things after you. They possess it after you. So, وَأَنْتُهُمْ مِمَّا إِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَتَاكُمْ. Give the poor, the needy, give them from the wealth of Allah that He has given you. So Allah refers to this wealth as His wealth. So when we have it in possession, not in ownership. So Allah is the owner. He has only given us to use it, and He wants to see how we are going to use it. So how you make your money and how you spend it, always be conscious of that day you are going to spend and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer these questions. So that will guide us when we, this should inspire piety in us, and that will guide us some of us in knowing how to be prudent in spending. And in the Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Innal mubadhirina kanu ikhwana shayateen." Those who spend extravagantly, they are brothers of shaitan. And shaitan is actually ungrateful to Allah. He's very ungrateful to Allah, shaitan, which means it's a sign of ingratitude when you are extravagant in spending. How do you know when you are extravagant in spending? Look at the clothes you wear. Look at the things you use. How you decorate your house. The kind of house you are even living in. The car you use, you can know whether this is extravagant or it moderates. Allah wants moderation in everything we do. Be moderate. Okay. Don't compete with people in wealth. Don't compete in taking your child to a particular school that you know is just a waste of time. Because what are they teaching them there? That the one next to you or cheaper cannot even could do. Many of us, we attended public schools, and alhamdulillah, Allah bless what we learned. So, and the blessings of Allah is very important. When Allah puts barakah in anything, that thing will be useful and beneficial. But you can see more people are educated today, but that does not translate to a better living condition for us in this country.
Absolutely.
Because there's no barakah in what many people are doing. So we are schooled, but we are not actually educated. Many of us are doing. You can only speak good English. After that, you are just moral dwarfs. So we need to, do away with extravagance. Another thing is, it's often said that failing to plan is planning to
fail.
So even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this household planning, he used to do it very well. In one hadith in Sahih Bukhari, in Kitab al-Nafaqat, because you have almost all the books of hadith, they have Kitab al-Nafaqat, the chapter on spending, chapter on expenditure. How do you manage your resources? How do you spend your things? We have chapters on these in the in various books of hadith. In Sahih Bukhari, which is the most authentic book of hadith on earth, we have Kitab al-Nafaqat. One of the hadith says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he sold from what he had from Banu Nadir, he sold from this asset. He used to buy a year foodstuff that can survive his family for 1 year. He used to buy it from this web.
Wow.
1 year. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to keep foodstuff for his wife for 1 year. So his scholars have said, like Al-Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, and that shows that when it comes to our household, we need to, when it comes to our finance and managing our resources, we can think of what can always cause us problem, and that is the issue of what to eat. If you can plan on how to have a yearly budget on food, and you set aside this money so that you know that you don't have problem when Yoruba would say, when you can remove hunger
out of every other poverty, thing
like, you poverty is... other thing. But with hunger, we cannot survive, we can't live. So hunger should be the first thing you should target that you remove. Just make sure that your family, you take proper care of them. That have that 1 year, an annual budget of what you are going to spend on food, if it is possible.
All right.
Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani now continues that for you to determine what will survive, what will what will be enough for your family for 1 year. It means you have to determine what they take,
in 1 year.
You know the daily needs of your family, so you know the weekly need, you know the monthly need, so that you'll be able to predict what the yearly
need will be.
The estimate of the yearly would be.
Wow.
That is our scholars, explaining how home economics. So from Islam and family and economic, household planning. So this is what she said. Each one of us, we have to sit down with our wives or members of our family. Okay, what exactly do we need? What can we, since I'm expecting money now before the money comes, because Nina Lo, if you don't plan for it, when it comes, you don't even know how it goes. But before it comes, we plan for it. Sit down. What do we need at home? The food stuff. What can we buy, so that we can store? Maybe you need to get a freezer so that you can store up some things that can easily get rotten, that you're able to use it for like 3 months or thereabouts, if you can do that. So there are many. So we need to sit down with our household, with our wives, with our husbands, and the plan how things should be done in the house, so that we're able to manage resources.
Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much, Imam. All right, so you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. Like I said, the number to call if you want to be part of this discussion is 07000 917 917, 07000 917 917, or you can send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to 0703 175 6537 0703 175 6537. Very quickly, Ayman, because of time. Now, looking at the fact that the cost of living is rising on a daily basis. Now, a lot of families are actually wallowing in debt. Some have actually even incurred debt that is interest based because they just wanted to survive and they just need funds from anywhere. So, how can families prevent themselves from falling into this debt trap? And for those who are already in it, how can they navigate their way out of this particular challenge?
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to pray, to bless us.
Ameen.
One of the things we need to do is we need this to understand the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very well. Every morning and evening, the Prophet used to say, Allahumma inni, Allahumma afini fi badani, Allahumma afini fi samari, Allahumma afini fi basari, la ilaha illa ant. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqr. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab al-qabr. La ilaha illa ant. We need to know this dua. You say it 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening. You can say part of it. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you. Against what? Against kufr, disbelief,
and
faqr, poverty. It combines disbelief and poverty, because poverty can lead you to
disbelief.
So there are many people whose belief is no longer a true belief because of poverty. They think about Allah where they are not supposed to be. They go to where they are not supposed to go. They do what they are not supposed to do because of a little iman that has led them, and because of their little iman combined with poverty that has led them to this disbelief. May Allah save us from that.
Amen.
So that's why we need to learn it and be saying it regularly. Another thing is that it's often said that one in Yoruba, one entoba shebo tima kuni shekini.
So live within your means.
There must be a limit to everything. So don't say that your friend has this particular cloth, you must also have it. All your friends are going to sew a particular cloth for a particular ceremony or celebration, and you must have it. It's not a must. Even Ilaya is coming now. You cannot say because I've been slaughtering rams throughout for the past 10 years, why should this year be a difference? And what should people be saying? Do you worship people or worshiping? Do you worship people or Allah? Because that's the problem of some people. I have to go and borrow. And it's not compulsory for you to borrow, to buy, to do Ilaya, because it's not even compulsory. If you don't have the means, it's only for those who is compulsory poor. Hajj is a pillar of Islam. But if you don't have the means, then it's not compulsory for you. You cannot steal just because you want to, or you borrow because you want to go for Hajj. You cannot. Now you can live for Allah nafsan illa wusaha. If it's an act of ibadah that Allah has requested from us to do, to perform, yet He has exonerated us if we are unable to do it because of our challenges. Why should you in worldly things that are not even basic? Why should you incur debt for those things? If you know you cannot take your child to a particular school that pays, where you have to pay an exorbitant fee, why don't you take them to the one you can afford? Why must you send your children abroad if you know you cannot afford it? Or just because your parents, child, or children are abroad? So they cannot just maybe competing with them if you know you don't have the capability. So some are going. To death, not because they bought their coats according to their clothes or according to what. It's not, it's not according to your size now.
It's according to your clothes. Yeah, cut your coat according to your cloth, because if it's according to your size, the clothes might not even be enough to up to your size.
It will not even look good on you again.
Yes.
So you have to know your limits. Please, that's very important. Another thing is, before you go borrowing, because whoever go borrowing,
go sorrowing.
So this is why we need to think before you go. But why must you borrow? Think of other alternatives. Can you get a grant? Can you apply for Zakat where there is any Zakat fund available? So if you can get from that, instead of borrowing, why not investing? Ask the person, if you want to borrow for your business, for example, ask the person to invest in you. You do the business and you share the profits.
Joint venture, sure.
Yes, joint ventures. So probably you want to buy an equipment to start your profession. The equipment is 1.5 million. You approach somebody, instead of borrowing, tell him, let's buy this equipment. I'll be using it. And this, the amount you'll be getting every month from
instrumental payments. Yeah.
Yes, and I'll be paying back the debts on installments. So things like this. So think of alternatives before you go into borrowing. Then if you now must borrow, or you have already borrowed and you are indebted now to people, what do you do to extricate yourself from these circles of debt? One is dua. Because Allah has everything and He has control over everything. The dua the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramika wa adhinini bifadlika amman siwak. Let's learn this dua and be saying it constantly. Allah uses the dua to solve so many problems and to settle our debts if you say it sincerely and repeatedly. The second thing is, if you have already borrowed, so if the person is disturbing you, you can ask for a moratorium. So can you give me some time to pay back, please? Just go to the person. Instead of you having a sleepless night, go to the person. Don't be running away. Don't say be hiding. Go to the person. Please, can you give me like 6 months?
Reschedule the debt.
Yes, reschedule the debt. It's very important. So that is another thing. Another thing is beg for debt forgiveness. So you can approach the person. I'm sorry, I don't want to be lying to you. Wallahi, this is my condition. The person may say, okay, since this is your condition, you can just pay half of it whenever you are able to. Or just don't worry, I've forgiven. But don't worry about the debt. And let them know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who gives a respite to a person in hardship in the hard time, to give some respite to him to pay back, or you even did. Who is come of the debt? Allah is going to put you under his throne on the day of resurrection. So there's a great reward in doing this in relation people. So that as relief for other people's plight, Allah is going to relieve your own challenges as well. That's another thing. Another thing is if you are now in debt, so what do you do again? Apply for zakat, or you can beg from your friends. So that is the only time when Islam allows you to beg. Early in Islam, you must not beg. You must not beg, except in three conditions, especially when you find yourself in an economic disaster.
Okay. All right.
Maybe there is a disaster, fire incident, or something, or you have lost them to be following true interest that some people are doing. So talk to your friends and beg from them. That would be better. But borrowing our interest, that is haram in Islam because it's serious. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La'ana Allahu akila riba wa mukilahu." Allah has caused anyone who consumes riba and anyone who gives this to another person and anyone who makes the transaction, they are all cost.
All right.
So one should desist from
Imam, we are constrained by time now. All right. Jazakum Allah khairan. Thank you very much. Probably just on a final note, so what advice do you have for everyone listening now concerning this? In just 30 seconds. So what advice do you have for anyone to be able to survive these harsh economic challenges that we are actually facing, and probably to also put hope in them that all will be well, inshallah? So what message do you have for everyone as a parting shot?
Be patient. That's my advice for everyone. Be patient. Be prayerful, be hopeful, and talk to people. If you know you are finding it difficult, when you share your problem, sometimes you either solve it or you have it. So don't just keep everything to yourself. Talk to people. So talk to the right people. Maybe they'll be able to give you advice that will help you. May Allah guide us
right. All right. Jazakum Allah khairan. I appreciate you for the insights that you have shared, and to everyone who have been able to listen to the program today that has been discussed with Dr. Ridwanullah Kadejami, the Imam of Lekki Central Mosque, Lekki First One, Lagos, taking us through the topic household, he has been able to take us through household plans and budget, and he has been able to tell us some of the prayers that we probably need to do to be able to overcome some of these challenges. Also beyond that is, he has advised us, let us live within our means, let us be able to distinguish between needs and wants, concentrate on your needs and try to forego your wants, and at the end of the day to be patient, be prayerful, be hopeful, and at the end of the day to also share your problems with others. You never can tell, a problem shelf, it is said, it is household. So on that note, inshallah, we'll be drawing the curtains on Everyday Muslim Show on the program for today. Inshallah, it will make its way back next week, same time, same station, 11 a.m. on WFM 91.7. Next week, remember, it is the day of Arafah. Please ensure that you fast on that day because it's expired the sins of 2 years. Minus that is, we are also planning for Eid al-Adha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives till then and beyond. I remain yours sincerely, Abdul Hakim Qasim. And bi kudratillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives till next week and beyond. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.